I bet you were thinking you're going to get a free milkshake today. I call this the milkshake because as I was going through a normal day looking for something to eat, I stopped at a restaurant and ordered some food as I normally would. And as I was going through the line and walking away from the counter, the man behind the counter had a cup in his hand and he says to me, "I have a milkshake. If you'd like it, it's yours for free. You can have it." So I wasn't planning on having a milkshake. I didn't order a milkshake. But there it was, presented to me. If I wanted it, I could have it. I could reach out and take it. So I decided that I had to make a decision quick because the offer wasn't going to last forever. And so I said, okay, I'll take the milkshake. So I took it, and as I was going back to the table, and I was thinking about, wow, that's really cool. How could I have gotten a better gift for free than a big old milkshake? And it wasn't one of those little dinky ones either. It was a big old thing. And I was like, man, that's really cool. Now, let me think about that a little bit. And as I sat down at the table, I don't know what happened, but all of a sudden I felt this feeling of like God's blessing. Isn't that funny how some of the simplest things can bring you back to God? And as I thought about the milkshake, I go, well, maybe I better taste this thing and see what kind of flavor it is. We hadn't discussed that. And as I tasted the milkshake, I can only describe it as something like coffee flavored. Well, I don't know. Me and coffee just don't always get along. And so I go, well, that wouldn't be my choice of a milkshake, but maybe after I drink it a little bit, I'll like it. Anything with lots of sugar and milk in it should be good, even if it's coffee flavored. And it didn't take long for me to really revert back to this idea of God's blessing. I had been reading a book about God's unmerited favor, and I thought, you know, if this is the way God's unmerited favor would work out in a person's life, of the offer of this free gift, how does that relate to my salvation? Because God, when we're talking about God's unmerited favor, we're really talking about God's salvation that he offered to us. And I had to sit down and I started thinking about it. Now, this is a true story. This happened to me. And I couldn't help it, but the whole time I ate lunch, I had this running through my mind. So what you have in front of you, the milkshake offer, is not for me to give you a free milkshake, but to represent this idea of God's free gift that he gave to us. And as I sat and ate, I came up with some ideas. I've added scriptures to it since then, scriptures that have formed my way of thinking, my opinion of God's salvation is through his scripture. And so I've included those here as part of the sermon, but the notes that you have are the notes of the thinking that was running through my mind. And I'll just read through those quickly, and then we'll go through the scriptures that go with that. And number one is it was free to me as offered. There is no payment needed. I didn't have to earn it. The milkshake was offered to me free. Salvation is offered to us free for my cost. How much do I have to pay? I have to pay nothing. Second one, it had value. And this is one of the biggest points that I made to myself when I thought of this. A good gift, something to be desired. All of you, when you see the word milkshake, you all of a sudden were thinking, wow, milkshake. But it's something to be desired. It cost someone. Someone had to pay for it. I didn't pay for it. But even the owner of the restaurant would have had to have paid for the ingredients that went into this milkshake. Somebody had to pay for it. The third one on the list there, the offer was for today, right now. It wasn't going to be available forever. And that thought came quickly when he offered it to me and said, "Do you want it?" I knew if I turned it down, that was it. It was not going to be offered. In the milkshake's case, it was not going to be offered to me again. I had to take it as it was presented to me. And I was presented in number four. I had to make a decision. I was confronted with a choice, take it or not. So I had to change my mind. My mind was set on not having a milkshake, but when the offer was presented to me, in front of me, he said, "Here it is." I had to change my mind because I wasn't planning on having a milkshake. And there it was in front of me. So that relates to me like when we have to repent to receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior. It represented repenting to me. I had to change my mind. Number five, I took the offer believing it was mine. When I had a hold of it, nobody was going to take it from me. That milkshake was in my hand, and I turned around. I was gone. Don't call me back and say, "No, that was supposed to go to somebody else." It was mine. Okay? Number six, I could not change the offer. Once I tasted it and I found it was coffee flavored, I couldn't change the offer. Like, say, "Could you take this back and give me one of a flavor I like better than this?" I couldn't do that. Okay? Number seven, I enjoyed the flavor as it comforted me. As I drank the milkshake, I learned to like it. I got used to it. I was able to enjoy it as I got used to the flavor. And number eight, I had a feeling of being cared for and belonging to someone. Somebody was nice to me. Somebody offered me something that I didn't have before. Somebody actually cared, and they gave it to me. They could have given it to anybody else, but they gave it to me. They offered it to me. And that represents God's salvation in a major way. Okay, so now let's look at the scriptures that really back this stuff up. Now, you have that little paper in front of you, and you're welcome to write the scriptures down or any other scriptures that make you feel like these are the scriptures that move you, that make you, that mold you in these ways of thinking. So, number one, free to me as offered, no payment needed. I didn't have to earn it. I looked up Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, and it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." That's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. Number two, it had value, a good gift, something to be desired. It cost someone. Someone had to pay for it. And it was planned from the start. So this milkshake had value. God's offer of salvation has enormous value. Enormous value. This one moves me more than any of the rest. The value of the offer of the gift of salvation is incredible. If only we would treat it like a milkshake and desire it and want it as much as the value of it. It's so important. These are the scriptures that I use that moved me to think the way I do. We're talking about the Passover lamb. It says in Exodus 12:5, it says, "Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats." And then in verse 13 it says, "Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are, And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Well, I can't re-step into this feeling of the people who needed passed over. What was going to happen to them if they didn't put this blood on the door, on the jamb of the door and around the door? They would receive the plague. And I relate that to me. What if when God looks at you and me and he didn't see the blood of Jesus that was shed for your sins? What if you weren't covered with that blood or washed with that blood? When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The judgment has passed from you. It has gone to the Lamb that was slain. There's actually one other scripture earlier than that where God had sacrificed animals in order to atone for the sin. If you remember Adam and Eve who sinned and all the beginning of their, what we might call downfall to the sin nature, what was the first thing that actually died physically were the animals that God killed to make the skins for their clothing. So immediately, God offered those animals who were slain to make the clothing that covered Adam and Eve. I find that important in my way of thinking, that God, from the very beginning, knew that there was a cost, understood the cost of the sin that we have all been part of. In Genesis 22:7, it talks about Isaac and Abraham. And when Isaac and Abraham were going up on the mountain, and you probably love this story, but keep it clear in your mind what was happening there. They went up on the mountain. They had the fire. They had the wood. And Isaac asked Abraham, "Where's the lamb? Why didn't we bring a lamb with us?" Do you know that Abraham told his son? He said, "My son, God will provide for himself the lamb for the burnt offering." I believe that he was not just talking to Isaac, but he was revealing to all of us the truth of the message of the Lamb being provided by God for the whole world. For the whole world. Not just for that moment. My son, God, will provide for himself a lamb. It doesn't get any better than that. Because that's exactly what he did. In John 1:29, John the Baptist identified Jesus. He said, "The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Do you see a theme here? Do you see a pattern here? Do you get the message of what it was all about for Jesus? What did Jesus say himself when they were preparing for the Passover? He said, in Matthew 26:27, he said, "Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink from it, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.'" See, See, this is still, we're still on number two, talking about the value that God placed on the Lamb, the cost of this, what we call free gift. Well, it was free to us, but it wasn't free to God. And then in the introduction to Revelation 1:5, in Revelation 1:5, as the introduction to Revelation, it says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his own blood." Where do we get those songs from? Where do we sing those things? Where did we learn those things? From the scripture itself. The value is great. Now let's look at the offer, number three. The offer was for today, right now. It was not going to be available forever. In Isaiah 55, 6, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Seek the Lord while he may be found. There might be a day, there will be a day, when you will not find him. Nobody will. In Luke 13, 25, it says, "When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open for us,' and he will answer and say to you, 'I do not know you, where you are from.'" So there is a day that the door will be shut. And Jesus said in John 8, 24, "Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Well, when Jesus says that you'll die in your sins, that really is saying your sins have not been forgiven. Because you have not believed in God's provision of salvation. You have not taken the free gift. You have not believed that I am he, the Messiah, the anointed one, the Christ. And so with that, he's saying, that's a negative thing. That's not a positive thing. We can understand that when we read that. And we know what Jesus was saying. You need to believe in me. You need what I'm offering you. Okay. Number four, I had to make a decision. I was confronted with a choice. I had to change my mind. I call that repenting. That's something that you and I would need to do. The offer was made. I need to decide to take it. And that's number four. In Luke 5:32, it says, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance," to repent. To change your mind, to turn to him, to make a decision for him. In Luke 15:7, I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. So we have a need to repent. There is celebration in heaven when we repent, when we turn to God, when we make that choice to follow him. Number five, I took the offer believing it was mine. And I look at Romans 10, 9 and 10. And it says there that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It says, you will be saved. And as you've heard preached before, it doesn't say you might be, you could be, you will be if you believe in the Lord Jesus and confess him. In Romans 10:13, it says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." That's an active motion. That's action. That's calling on him. That's asking him. Once you know about the offer, you need to actively pursue it by asking him, by receiving the offer. My absolute favorite verses in the scripture are the next two lines. For someone, the best example of calling on the Lord is, and many of you have heard this in Sunday school, the thief on the cross is one of the very best moments in scripture where the thief says to the Lord Jesus, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." On the cross, about to die, he repents. He acknowledges his sin. He recognizes his need. He understands the offer. He knows Jesus is there beside him. And he repents. "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what does Jesus? Jesus said to him, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Salvation was his before he died. While he was still alive on the cross, he was saved. Salvation was his before he died. But when he died, guess where he went? To be with the Lord in paradise. Number six, I couldn't change the offer. The milkshake was coffee flavored, and there was nothing I could do about it. I could not change the offer. It had to be accepted as offered. Now, what in the world could that mean toward the salvation message? Well, as God worked on me through the Holy Spirit, he says, "What is my offer? How many ways are there to heaven? How many ways are there to the Father? What if it doesn't taste that good to you? What if you don't like the way it's offered? What if you think of another way to God, another plan, some other way that you might make it to heaven? Is there such a thing?" Well, no, there's not. And so I had to accept the offer as it was presented. It had to be mine the way it was offered. I couldn't change it. The verses that I use for that are these. John 14:6, Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Pretty clear, right? I think so. And Jesus said in John 6:51, "I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world." One more. Jesus said in John 10:9, "I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture." Is it pretty clear who our salvation is through? I think it is. Number seven. This may not seem accurate, but I enjoyed the flavor as it comforted me. Well, any milkshake is good, as like I say, as long as it's got lots of sugar and good old milk in it. And I was drinking it, and as I was drinking it, the flavor was still coffee flavor, but I still drank the whole thing, okay? And I got used to it. I learned to like it. Well, you know, when we first become a believer, is it always easy? Is it easy after you've been a believer a long time? Is there not some hardship, some heartache, some problems that arise in and around you? Well, there sure is. And we still need the Lord. We still need his help. We still need to be comforted by him. So as I was enjoying my milkshake, I thought of the comfort that comes from having a Heavenly Father and a Savior, Jesus, who has loved me this much, has presented all these things to me. I enjoyed the flavor. And Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Well, for all of you, from beginner to long-term, people who have been Christians for seemingly forever, this is true for all of us. He can give us rest, and we can continually learn from him. Who is supposed to be our pattern? Who's our example? Who are we supposed to learn from? Well, we can learn from each other, but ultimately, our teacher is Jesus. He is the pattern. He is the example that we should go by. And he's the one that's saying, "I will give you rest. You can learn from me, and you will find rest for your souls." How many of you would like to have a little rest in your life, a little peace in your life? I look at it that way. I'd like to have a lot of that. Sometimes life is not that way, but God can certainly help us with it. And now number 8. I had a feeling of being cared for and belonging to someone. Now this is, you might think this is stretching it a bit for a milkshake, but honestly, when somebody gives me a good gift, I appreciate it. And now somebody has offered me something that I enjoy, and I can be thankful for their offer. I can really say, now you and I have something in common because you were willing to offer me something, and I enjoyed it. And I feel that way about God. I had a feeling of being cared for because of this offer. And in God's offer, you are cared for. You do belong to someone. You are in God's care. And all these steps or processes that went through my mind about the way of our salvation, the relationship we have after salvation, is now the care that God gives us. Jesus said in John 10:27, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Do you get the feeling of belonging there? Do you want to belong to someone? Do you want to feel like you're part of a group that you would be missed if you were missing from their group and meetings and the processes of relationships that we have? You would be missed. When somebody is missing from a seat in church, we say, "That seat is empty. Somebody should be in that seat. I miss them already. Wonder why they're not here." Because people are demonstrating their love for God's people. For the people that God loves, we also love. The people of God love each other. So it's a sense of belonging to someone, belonging somewhere, being part of that group. I said a team member for life. You're a team member for life. We all have talked about school when you didn't get picked for the basketball. I never got picked for basketball. You can probably wonder why. My coach even told me when I was playing basketball in junior high, he told me, he said, I don't think you're cut out for basketball. And I agreed with him because I was kind of rough against, I figured there's the ball, I get the ball, that's all that matters. And it didn't matter who I went through to get it. But God has given us a team. We play on this team. We are part of the same team. You're on my team. I'm on your team. We work together for the goal and purposes of that team. God has presented that to us. We are part of the sheep. What is it about sheep? When the sheep hear the voice of their shepherd, they respond. And that's what he's referring to here. They will never perish. Can you imagine having a promise like that? Who could ever give you a promise like that except for the Lord? The Lord is the only one. He's the only one that can give a promise like that. So I'm going to say to you now, the milkshake was a simple gift, but a big blessing to me. And what is it that has happened to you that will represent the love, the grace and mercy of God? How can a gift you give, how can a gift or an act of kindness you do lead others to a picture painted of God's love, grace, and mercy? Your love for God can be represented by the way you treat others. You can move people, you can motivate people by having a loving and kind spirit, a gift-giving attitude toward other people. This happened to me, even if it was at a restaurant, but it can happen anywhere as long as God is involved. I'm going to close with this thought. His offer, the gift of salvation, free to us, costly to God, someone had to pay. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. I thank you, Father, for the message of this gift, this milkshake gift, Lord, that motivated me through your Spirit to just think of all the wonderful blessings that you have given us through salvation and the care of our life and the eternity you have promised us in your word. Thank you, Father, for those things, and I ask your blessing on all of us to present our lives with love and care for our neighbors and for our friends. In Jesus' name, we ask these things. Amen.